Hello, hello. Am I there? Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Okay, we're there. Those finer details that I think that's because I went into the bathroom and I never trust having the microphone on when I go in there. So I turned it off and forgot to turn it back on again. So what can I say? Oh, my. Well, glad you're all here with that bit of news that you really didn't need to have, but anyhow. We're on a series called Jesus is Better from the book of Hebrews. And you'll notice if you've were paying attention to titles and different things from last week and this week, everything has been changed with my plans on what I was going to do because I thought there's chapter 9 and the first part of chapter 10 of Hebrews talks about Christ's sacrifice, talks about his blood and of giving his body and how that makes such a difference. And I was going to spend 2 weeks on those chapter and a half and decided to shift gears a little bit and change. So we're going to be starting halfway through chapter 10 this morning. But before we get to that, would like to review our memory verses and introduce our new verse. For the first part of Hebrews, we were memorizing Hebrews 1:3, 1 verse 3. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he, talking of Christ, upholds the universe by the word of his power. After making purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And that theme was carried out throughout the first, throughout the first 10 and a half chapters. And so we will shift a little bit in that. But last, Rick was speaking on the path of love that Christ took pretty much the last week of the life of Christ. And the memory verse for that was John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lays down his life for his friends. I put it in here in NES because that's how Rick had it, but I don't want to say it that way because then it'd confuse me. So you got my version. Anyhow, just a reminder to keep reviewing those verses. You know, God uses his word as we plant it in our hearts and both in our lives and in the lives of others. Let me just tell you what we're going to be looking at today. It's, again, the first 10 and a half chapters, and I'll talk more about this later, but the author of Hebrews is building his case. He's making an argument. He's trying to, if you remember, persuade the people, the Hebrew people that he was writing to, not to fall back into or go back into the Jewish religion of keeping the law. He's making an argument on why Christ is better than all of that and why it is we should be moving forward instead of backward. So today we're going to be talking about drawing near, holding fast, and considering how, and that's taken from Hebrews 10:22-24. And that is going to be our new memory verses. Again, you can memorize it in whatever translation you're used to reading, but we do encourage you to work on that. And the reason, let me read it for you first. Hebrews 10:22-24. This is out of the English Standard Version. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Talks about three things in there. That's the title comes right from this. Drawing near, holding fast, and considering how. But something else that you'll notice is that, which is one of the arguments for the Apostle Paul being the author of this, is he uses the three words that Paul used many times, but 1 Corinthians 13, you remember, where he talks about faith, hope, and love. Well, those words are used here. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. Interestingly, chapter 11 addresses the whole issue of faith. Now, faith, Hebrews 11:1, is the assurance of things hoped for, the confidence in things not seen. So the author here is sort of setting the stage for the rest of the letter that he wrote to the Hebrews. He's going to be talking about faith later on. In verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. And you'll see in chapter 12, verses 1 through 13, that the author of Hebrews addresses that topic in that of remaining faithful, holding on to our hope. And then in verse 24, let us consider how to stir one another up to love. We'll see that the last half of chapter 12 and all of chapter 13 has to do with how do we live together as a body of Christ in a way that causes us to be able to do all of these things. There's a lot of application in the last part of this book. The first 10 and a half chapters have been a lot of doctrine, if you will, of the author setting a stage. But now we're getting into some other things. The last part of what we're going to be talking about is a fourth warning. If you'll remember, we had three other warnings and throughout the first 10 chapters of the book. And then we'll look at some words of encouragement associated with the warning. So that's what we're up to today. Right now, we're going to take a break. There's some coffee and juice and some refreshments back there on the other table. Feel free to get up and help yourself. Those of you who are visiting, make sure you get back there. Don't let people hold you back from getting back to get something. We're tend to be kind of friendly. But those of you who are remember that, help them get back there so that they can get their refreshments too. So let's go do it, and we'll be back here in about 15 minutes. We're going to be talking about drawing near, holding fast, and considering how. But before we start, join with me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for music, for song, for how we can express ourselves and oftentimes emotions and feelings that are hidden otherwise. So we do thank you for allowing us to worship you through song. Father, thank you too for your word that you provide for us as a means for us to get to know you, to know your ways, to know your desires, to know how you work in and through your Son and the role that your Holy Spirit plays in our lives. Father, as we look at this passage of Scriptures this morning, I would ask that You would open our hearts and our minds, allow us to perceive the truths that are there. Father, give me the ability to communicate what You have written for us. Help me to help all of us think through on some of the issues that are raised. Father, as we continue on, we do invite Your Spirit to take the words that are spoken and drive them deep into our hearts, Father, so that we might not just be doers of the Word, but or hearers of the Word, but that we truly might be doers of Your Word. So we commit our time to You in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to spend a few minutes reading over the passage, which is Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 19 through verse 39, through the end of the chapter. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that He opened for us through the curtain, that is, through His flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy on the evidence of two or three witnesses. How much worse punishment do you think will be deserved by the one who has spurned the Son of God and has profaned the blood of the covenant by which He was sanctified, and has outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know Him who said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," and again, "The Lord will judge His people." It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. For yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul will have no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith, who have faith and preserve their souls. Having faith and preserving our souls comes just before jumping into chapter 11 on faith. So this passage here really sets the stage for what is coming in the rest of the book, but let's look at the beginning of this, Hebrews 10, 19 through 21. You know, there's a lot of things in here that, including the warning, but a lot of things that it tells us we're supposed to be careful to do, or things that we're told to be careful not to do. And I don't know about you, but especially in my personal reading, it is so easy to read what we see there without really taking it to heart and understanding that God is writing this for me. God is writing this for you. All of us sitting here today who receive the word, God is speaking to us as individuals. We talked last week about how in the Jewish community, so much of it was a corporate kind of religion. There was a lot. Every individual was responsible for keeping the law, and if they sinned, they had to offer sacrifices and different things. But they were addressed as a group. Not so much in the New Testament church. God speaks to us as individuals. And when it says here, therefore, brothers and sisters, therefore, we have to ask ourselves, what's the therefore, therefore? And the answer to that is the therefore refers back to everything that has come before in the book of Hebrews, chapters 1 through chapter 10, verse 18, where the author has been setting up an argument, as it were. But he mentions here, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus. The song we just sang, speaking about the blood, and saying that there's nothing about our righteousness, our being good, that qualifies us to enter the Holy of Holies. Nothing about my performance in this life. And I don't have to think much about many, 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 many times that I have failed and had to come to God on the basis of the blood of Christ. None of us can keep the law, and we'll see in the warning that God speaks about that. But it says here that by a new and a living way, the new and the living way is speaking of Christ. No longer is it the human high priest who goes year by year with the blood of animals, making sacrifices with things that are dead. Now we have a new high priest that leads us into the throne, and it is a living way. Jesus is not a dead sacrifice. He didn't shed his blood and remain in the grave. He shed his blood, as we talked about before, and was raised from death and then ascended into heaven. A new and a living way that he opened up through the curtain. Remember Rick's sermon talking about how the curtain in the temple, the actual physical temple that was in Jerusalem, the curtain was torn in two from top to bottom. And we're told here that what that was a symbol of Christ's body being broken for us so that we can enter in. That he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God. You know, the first 10.5 chapters is like the author of the Hebrews set down a list of arguments that he wanted to make to convince or to persuade the people that he was writing to not turn back to something that no longer qualifies as being able to enter or usher us into the presence of God. He had this list and he went down through there and he checked each one off as he went along. The ones that are listed here in verse 19 through 21 is a new covenant, a new sanctuary, a better high priest, and a superior sacrifice. That's the ending of his argument. And he says, therefore, since all this is true, we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Christ. Because of that, because of what Christ has done, because he is better, we have confidence to enter the holy place where God dwells. Therefore is an important word because it refers back and brings us forward to this point. And so from this point on, we're talking about since Jesus is better, or because Jesus is better, this is what is happening. This is what he's doing now. This is where he is headed. So let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. This begins a section that it sets the stage, as I said before, for all that is coming in the future, chapters 11, 12, and 13. But he calls us to draw near. Remember what he just said in the previous verse? That the way has been opened. Therefore, since we have confidence to enter, let's draw near. God is available. We no longer need a high priest. God himself is available. Not that we come before him on our own. We come to God. We pass into the Holy of Holies through the blood of Christ. But we have access. We no longer have to wait for someone to offer a sacrifice for us. We no longer have to have somebody mediate a human. But like we talked about last week, we have a mediator that sits at the right hand of the throne of God. And he says, draw near. He says to you, draw near to God. This is your time. Draw near to God. Why does he tell us that? Because like it said many times throughout the book of Hebrews, the tendency for us, if we are not moving towards God, most likely we are sitting still, which means we are moving away. We are drifting. If we are not moving, as it were, swimming against the tide or against the current, we are going backwards. So he says, draw near. It's not a suggestion. God wants us to draw near to him. And we can do that with a true heart, a heart that has been, as it talks about the heart of stone being replaced with a heart of flesh. It's the Word has been, or the Spirit has taken up residence in our heart. He has come inside of us and sealed us into the body of Christ. We can come to God with a true heart, cleansed, made right before him, in full assurance of faith. It's all about faith. We're told that in Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, that it is this whole thing of salvation is a gift from God. But it's not our own. It's been given to us. It's a gift. The faith is something that God gives to us when we are born again, but it is our faith. And we're called to exercise faith, which we'll see in 2 weeks when we talk about Hebrews 11. But we can have a full assurance of faith, not a hope. So, I hope that what God told me is true. Oh, I hope that I get to heaven someday. Oh, I hope that God's listening to me when I pray. Oh, I hope that my life makes or is worthwhile. There's no hoping about the assurance of faith. The faith that God gives us is firm and sure. And we can come to God in full assurance of faith. Because it talks about here that our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That happens when we are cleansed from our sin, that God takes all that away. And he says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, all things have become new. Not that everything around us is new, but internally everything is new. We are clean at the point of trusting Christ, and we maintain that cleanness as we continue to walk in Christ and receive forgiveness of sin. It goes on to say, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. The confession of our hope probably has something to do with our witness among the unenlightened, as well as our endurance. If you look forward to Hebrews 10:32, the author says, but recall the former days when after you were enlightened, or after you trusted Christ, after you received the light of your salvation, the knowledge of Christ, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings. But here in 23, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope. We are called to be a people who confesses what we believe. We are called to be a people who is not mute in the sense of not being able to tell others what it is that we believe in. But our confession of hope has to do with the hope in this life and the hope of eternal life. But we are to hold fast that confession of our hope without wavering. And why? Because God is faithful. God made certain promises that he will keep, that doesn't depend on our faithfulness, but on the faithfulness of Christ. He who promised is faithful. But then it also tells us not only to hold fast to that, but to consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let us consider how to stir up each other to love and good deeds. Let's consider how we can help each other be successful Christians. That's what it's talking about. How can you and I interact with each other in a way that will cause or help them to be successful Christians in this life? What can you do? If you look around the people sitting here, what can we do to help each other be successful Christians? Anybody have an answer? We need to consider how to do that. Again, it is something that is so easy to think, well, I know it applies to somebody. Let's see who's out there that we can apply this to. No. It applies to every one of us. every one of us are called to consider how to help the people around us be successful Christians. How do we do that? Because it's not the same for every person. It's not a list of things that you can do and or just say, hey, I'll pray for you and I'm sure God will answer and you'll be successful. Well, prayer is a part of it, but it's not all of it. It takes thought to consider how we can help each other be successful Christians. And we're told to do it more and more because the day is coming when we won't be able to do it anymore. Christ will return, and we'll see that in a few verses where it is promised and He will not delay. But now we come to a warning. It's the fourth warning in Hebrews that we're considering. But let me read it, and then we'll look at the other three that came before this. Hebrews 10, verses 26 to 28. For if we go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has set aside the law of Moses dies without mercy. Well, we saw the first one in Hebrews 2, where the author talked about the dangers of neglecting salvation. Or, as I mentioned just a bit ago, if we're not moving towards God, we are adrift. There is no such thing as, and we have an anchor of the soul. There's a song that talks about that, and that we are tied fast to the outcome of our salvation. But in relation to how we relate to God, there is nothing that holds us close to God within us. If we are not moving towards God, we are at adrift. If you want to read about that, it's Hebrews 2, 1 through 4. We must heed the things we have heard unless we slip away from them. The next warning was in Hebrews 3, 7 to 19, and then 4, 1 through 13. Two parts, but the danger of unbelief talked about not hardening your hearts. And then it told us to be afraid lest you miss God's rest. It talked about how that there is a rest set aside for us, a Sabbath rest, and how the children of Israel missed it when they failed to go into the promised land. And the author says, don't you miss the rest that is available for you. Because it is possible, and we should fear or we should be afraid that we might miss it. Third warning was in Hebrews 5, 11 through 6, 8. The danger of immaturity or of falling away. And it tells us again to be afraid so that you don't. But here, it tells us that if we go on sinning deliberately, how many of you sin deliberately? Come on, everybody's hand ought to be gone up. We all sin deliberately, don't we? I mean, there are times when I just say, I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I know what you want me to do, but I'm not going to do what you want me to do. I want to do this. We all sin deliberately. So what does this passage mean? That we're not to go on sinning deliberately. Because the consequences of whatever it means isn't nice. A fearful expectation of judgment and a fury of fire that will consume the adversaries. That's what's there for those who do what this says not to do. But what does it mean? I mean, we all still have a sin nature. We all still rebel daily against the Word of God and against Christ, against His Lordship. We all are selfish and self-motivated in so many areas. So what does it mean? There's been several cults throughout church history that have taken this to mean that if you sin at all deliberately, you are in danger of hell fire. But that can't be what it means. Verse 26. What it means is that there is no forgiveness. If there is no forgiveness, the outcome of not being forgiven is hell. But yet, 1 John 1, 9 tells us that if we confess our sins, God Himself is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So what can it mean if we go on sinning deliberately? Well, the most likely explanation is that it looks back to before we were enlightened. If we continue to sin as we did before we were enlightened, because it uses that word, that phrase here. But a fearful... go on sinning deliberately after receiving the knowledge of the truth. So if we receive the knowledge of the truth and we're walking along, remember, this is written to Jews who were being persuaded to move back into the Jewish religion under the law, under the sacrificial system, under the earthly high priest. They were being pushed. We're not told how that pressure was being applied. But the point is that they were being pressured to go back into the Jewish religion. To go back to the practices before they were enlightened. And if we're told that if we do that, then we, in essence, are unbelievers, because you can't go back to the old system of trusting in yourself and trusting in faulty earthly sacrifices and remain a believer in Jesus Christ, who paid the ultimate sacrifice, shed His blood so that we might have freedom from sin. Not freedom from sin in the sense of being sinless, but freedom from the consequences of sin. Because we have an advocate, remember, who sits at the right hand of the throne of God and intercedes for us. We have access to the throne of grace. As it says in John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the warning is not about if you ever sin deliberately or if you go on sin. Now, certainly we're not supposed to go on sinning deliberately. It's not giving a license for sin, because He talks about that in other passages. Drawing near to God implies that we are working on our sin nature to eradicate those things that cause us to sin against Christ. We are trying to move away from that. But I sin deliberately. You sin deliberately. You sin because you want to at times. I do too. But we're not in danger of hell fire unless we move away from Christ and go, as it were, back into the world and start to do the things we did, trusting in ourselves, living in that self-confidence. If you trust in yourself, then this warning is for you. Hello, I hear that call. Well, let's go on. 32 through 34 tells us something that is encouraging. It tells us to recall the former days. How do we overcome this tendency, this pressure? And all of us have this pressure. We're not Jews. We didn't come out of the Jewish system. But all of us are being pressured to go back into the world. Romans 1:16, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. The world is always trying to push us into the worldly mold. Always. The pressure is always there. How do we overcome that? Well, we're told in these next verses here to recall the former days when, after you were enlightened, you did several things. And I just listed them out here so it's easier to pick them out. Remember your former Christian experience or enlightenment. Remember your former Christian experience. If you're being pressured to go back into the world, if you sense that your relationship with Christ is not what it should be, here's what you can do. Remember your former Christian experience. We've talked about that before, and many of us can look back 30, 40, 50, 60, 70 years and say, boy, it was great when I first trusted Christ. I was so enthusiastic. I was witnessing to everybody. I was this, I was that. But it tells us it's important to look back. Look back and remember. Remember your spiritual illumination when you actually trusted Christ. What was that like? Remember your endurance to live for the cause of Christ. Remember your standing with others as suffering companions, or as you yourself suffered, or as you watched others suffer and stood with them as they endured and trusted Christ during those times. Remember your bearing the seizure of your property. Very few of us have experienced that. Very few of us. But there are Christians around the world that happens to every day, day in and day out. And we can read about that in publications like, somebody help me. Voices of the Martyrs. Voices of the Martyrs, yeah. Where they talk about the sufferings of people around the world. And we can pray for them. We can stand with them, as it were, through our prayers. Remember your reason, the hope of heaven, and a better and a lasting possession. Remember these things. Remember these things because they help you endure. Verses 35 to 37 says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance. So that when you have done what? So that when you have done the will of God, you know, that's what we've been called to. We have been called to living out the will of God so that the world might see And as it were, the light shines on our witness at that time. We are called to be lights set on a hilltop, not hidden under a basket. We are called to live out the will of God in our daily lives. So that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. This is the opposite of the warning. If we move away from God, if we go back to the world, if we push aside our trust in Christ, if we say, I don't want any part of that anymore, and the outcome or the consequences of that decision is burning fire, this is the other side of that. If we are faithful to the things of God, we may receive what is promised. The coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. My righteous ones shall live by faith. Are you living by faith? Do you see faith at work in your life on a day-to-day basis? If not, why? That's the kind of thing we're supposed to consider. Am I living that way? And am I helping others live that way? Am I living by faith? As you go through your day, and you know, sometimes when I think of this, working on the sermon or something like that, I often sit back and have to stop and say, wow, I am so far from what I proclaim. I don't always practice what I preach. The righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, God speaking, my soul will have no pleasure in him. But, I love that word, but we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and persevere or preserve their souls. We are those who have faith and preserve their souls. It's a matter of taking all of these things and asking God to work them out in our lives. To live by faith and to not draw back. Faith preserves the soul. Drawing back displeases God. Drawing back is not the believer's way. So what do we do? Well, here's a list of six things that talked about today. Memorize your verses. That's a good start. Memorize Hebrews 10, 22 to 24. Now, you get a bonus here if you've already memorized verse 25 of Hebrews 10. That's a bonus. If you don't know it and do memorize it, that's an extra bonus. But the key verses here, I think, in my opinion, are 22 to 24. So I'd encourage you to work at memorizing that. Apply yourself to drawing near to God. Make it your goal daily to draw near to God. Anchor yourself to the confession of your hope. Make it yours. Tie it to you. Don't let it go. Be one who confesses what you hope in. Seriously consider how you can help others be successful in their Christian walk and witness before others. In other words, love and good works. And five, heed the warning to consider where you are in your relationship with Christ. Are you moving towards Him? Are you drawing near? Or has a relationship with God become something that you yawn over when you think about it? And then apply verses 32 to 39 that lists these things here. Join me in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, we come before You recognizing our own sinfulness and yet rejoicing in the fact that Christ has paid the penalty for our sin. Not just the sins of this morning, but our sinful nature, our willingness to sin. Christ has paid the penalty, and we rejoice in Your giving Your Son to that end. Father, I pray that You would help us to make application from these passages here. Father, that we would strive to draw near to You. Father, that we would renew our commitment to draw near to You, that we would fan into flames that relationship. Father, that we would hold fast the confidence that we have in what Christ has done for us. And Lord, that You would give us the grace and mercy and the compassion and the desire, giftedness to consider how to help each other or others around us be successful in the Christian walk. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.